RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo proposes Tito Karnavian as a police chief candidate. Indonesia and Norway strengthen partnership in forest protection. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo has proposed the name of Commissioner General Tito Karnavian, currently chairman of the National Counter-Terrorism Agency, as a candidate for the post of police chief. The head of state has sent a letter naming the police chief's candidate to the House of the Representatives DPR on June 15. Presidential Special Staff Johan Budi remarked in Jakarta on Wednesday that President Joko Widodo has complete authority to appoint the national police chief candidate, and it is his prerogative right. However, while selecting Karnavian, President Joko Widodo has sought inputs from various parties, including the National Police Commission, or Kompolnas, the National Police, and the public. Budi added that Karnavian is selected for the post to improve the professionalism and quality of legal enforcement process, especially against extraordinary crimes such as terrorism, drug trafficking, and corruption. Indonesia and Norway continue to strengthen the partnership between them in a bid to reduce emissions from deforestation and forest degradation. An officer of Indonesian embassy in Oslo, Haryoto Harmoko, said on Tuesday that Prime Minister Erna Solberg has expressed her appreciation for various regulatory measures taken by President Joko Widodo. On the occasion, Indonesian delegates conveyed some progress in Indonesian forest protection efforts, among others, moratorium on peatland, mining and palm oil concessions. The Indonesian delegates elaborated the measures taken by the government at the national level as a follow-up to the Paris Climate Deal in the plan of Indonesia-Norway-Baltar Partnership in Red Plus. Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung has said the government is set to establish a maritime policy as a reference for Indonesian maritime development. The policy is targeted to be completed in July. In a limited cabinet meeting at the presidential office on Wednesday, he said President Joko Widodo urged the coordinating maritime affairs ministry to immediately work on a simple but implementable maritime policy. President Joko Widodo has given until July to set the implementable policy. During the meeting, he further explained President Joko Widodo also called for the promotion of peace. Previously, President Joko Widodo also said that the maritime development policy should be able to consolidate existing maritime development programs, saying the policy would serve as a guideline for the maritime development in the country. An Australian company engaged in marina construction is ready to promote licensing reforms in Indonesia. This was stated by Head of the Investment Coordinating Board by KPN, Franky Sibarani, in a press release received by Antara in Jakarta. The company, which has been facilitated by the board's representative office in Sydney and the marketing officer's team in Australia, has admitted that in the past it was licensing work to third parties because it did not know that administrative processes have undergone reform now. The Australian company plans to build a marina in West Nusa Tenggara province. Then the company proposed an extension principal permit for its marina business and used the 3-hour service facility provided by the investment coordinating board. Sibrani also said that the company really appreciated Indonesian services. They said that they will promote this service among other foreign business players so that they may opt to invest in Indonesia. The children of former members of Gavatar as forbidden religious belief in Indonesia deserve being protected and having their social status. They must be protected to get their equal rights such as better life and so must other children. This was affirmed by Vice Chairman of Central Leader of Muhammadiyah Youth, Pirgo Sulianto, to media the press conference on interpaid figures demanding the state in recovery and fulfilling the rights of former Gavatar members at the Central Leader Building of Muhammadiyah in Jakarta on Wednesday afternoon.
Negara tidak lagi abai, karena dalam kondisi apapun,
the state must not be negligent in any situation to everyone politically, legally, and disastrous situation. The state must not be negligent in giving people's rights. Related to refugees of Gavatar, children must have sense of being secured and safe. I feel that there are many refugees to be neglected. They must gain sense of safety, enjoy education and livelihood.
Hidup yang layak itu tentu paling tidak minimal tiga hal itu yang kemudian tidak terpenuhi.
Coordinator of National Network Gus Durian, Alisa Wahid, who was also present at the agenda, said that the government must be fair to any groups of citizens to obtain protection and livelihood. She also stated that their existence is also protected by the existing law. The Indonesian Students Association, PPI in Egypt, will hold the International Symposium of Indonesian Student Association to take place in Cairo, Egypt on July 25th to 28th, 2016. The symposium is themed "Reinforce the Identity of Indonesian Nation." The committee chairman of the symposium, Indap Azizi to RRI, said on Wednesday that the theme is motivated with the conditions in Indonesia, which vulnerably affects conflict of ethnic, religion, and group. In addition, some conflicts occurring in Indonesia were mostly motivated in ideological differences. Based on this condition, Indap said, PPI in foreign countries trying to strengthen the nationality identity while offering solutions.
Yang kami lihat saat ini di Indonesia terjadi perbedaan atau konflik, Pak.
What we see in Indonesia, there are conflicts because of differences in ethnicity, costume, and descent. Most people consider the Western ideology is appropriate in Indonesia. Then some others claim that the Middle East ideology is the most excellent to be applied in Indonesia. We forget that we have our own identity, namely tolerance among religions. Based on it, we take the team and hope that we can regenerate a sense of nationhood.
Moreover, Indap said that the association hopes that the symposium is a moment of insight for their dialectic process and idea that can be contributing to the nation. The symposium is also expected to encourage changes in Indonesia. He also stated that the committee has invited several ministers, including the Minister of Education and Culture, Anies Baswedan, and Minister of Research and Higher Education and Technology, M. Nasir. Indap also explained that Indonesian Student Association, which is currently available in 42 countries, will send delegation. In addition, there are 213 people from Paris Youth Organization to have reported to be present. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled President Joko Widodo proposes a single candidate for new police chief. The status of the number one in the Indonesian police reemerged as a hot issue, remembering that the Indonesian current police chief, General Badrodin Haiti, will get retired in July 2016. However, the hustle and bustle, like 2 years ago, had faded away as President Joko Widodo has finally proposed a solo candidate for the next chief of Indonesian police to the House of the Representatives, DPR, to soon pass through a fit and proper test. But the appointment
of the Commissioner General Tito Carnivian is quite interesting because there is a change in the tradition occurring in the police department. Responding to the single nominee, Tito Carnivian, Police Chief Batrodin Haiti said the decision of Police Council and Hyde Rand called Wan Jakti actually has submitted three names and does not include the name of Tito Carnivian. But previously, President Joko Widodo has indeed discussed the possible other names of younger officers for his sustainable government, because the three names proposed will averagely get retired in 2017, while Tito Carnivian 2022. One of the traditional changes that occurs in the candidacy is about acknowledgement by the prospective candidate of new police chief. An observer, Muhammad Bakit, said that President Joko Widodo is attempting to change a long-standing tradition in the police by proposing a single candidate who comes from neither Javanese nor Sundanese. In addition, he also considered that the single candidate, Tito Carnivian, is not affiliated with any political parties. Muhammad Bakir also admitted that the ability of Tito Carnivian, especially his capacity to fight against terrorism activities such as the terrorist attack in Jakarta on last January 2016, is obvious. On the other hand, the chairman of the President of the Indonesian Police Watch, Neta Pane, assessed that President Joko Widodo should take into consideration the seniority before appointing General Tito Carnivian as the sole candidate for the next police chief. Neta also said that the age of General Tito, that is relatively young, is fair to disrupt the process of leadership if elected as a police chief later. He added that there are still many senior officers who are eligible. Meanwhile, the House of Representatives DPR received the proposal of the police chief nominee on Wednesday. Chairman of Commission 3 of DPR, Bambang Susatyo, said that the letter from President Joko Widodo related to a single candidate for the new police chief has been received by the House Commission 3. He also pointed out that the name of Commissioner General Tito Carnivian, who now serves as the head of National Counterterrorism, is now handed to the consulted body of DPR to be read in the plenary session. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, it's nice to be with you again. I'm here, Mana Rahmana, in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start for an event on June 16, 1944, when air attack by the United States to Japan was begin. On 16 June 1944, U.S. Air Force attacked to a number of cities in Japan. The first city which became the target was Fukuoka in South Japan. The air attack was aimed to push Japan and force the country to surrender. The attack killed 10,000 of innocent people and destroyed the centers of industry, factories, fields, and various Japanese infrastructure. The attack ended by Japan's surrender to the Allies after Hiroshima and Nagasaki became the target of the U.S. atomic bomb. The next event was in 1946 when Surakarta was established in the era of the Dutch colonial. Its territory included in the territory of Surakarta and Praja Mangkunegara, which cover a total area of over 5,000 square kilometers. The Surakarta was a continuation of the administration of Governor General based in Batavia, especially in the colonial period. After the proclamation of Indonesian independence, this residency region was set into Surakarta Special Region with Governor Sri Susunan Pakubuwono XII and Vice Governor Sri Mangku Ngoro VIII.
This status did not last long because the social revolution happened, which masterminded by Tan Malaka to oppose the power of aristocracy and feudalism reigned in the region. So that after the recognition of Indonesian sovereignty by the Netherlands, Surakarta lost its autonomy and this region has become Surakarta until today. On June 16, 1946, Surakarta was formed. Therefore, each date of 16th of June is celebrated every year as the date of birth and city of Solo Surakarta. And the last event was in 1963 when Valentina Vladimirovna Tereskova was the first woman to have flown in space. Valentina is a retired Russian cosmonaut and politician. She is the first woman to have flown in space, having been selected from more than 400 applicants and 5 finalists to pilot Vostok 6 on 16th of June 1963. She completed 48 orbits of the Earth in her 3-day trek in space. In order to join the Cosmonaut Corps, Tereskova was honorarily inducted into the Soviet Air Force, and thus she also became the first civilian to fly in space. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this day in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, this is Every World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Focus. The theme of today's Focus is foreign seed forbidden to catch fish in Indonesian waters. Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Susi Pujastuti prohibits foreign companies operating in the form of foreign direct investment FDI fishing in Indonesian waters. This was expressed during a dialogue with a number of fishermen in the port of PPI Tenau, Kupan on last Sunday, June 12. She underlines that only Indonesian fishermen can catch fish in Indonesian waters. The statement was made by Minister Susi in connection with ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, which has been effective since early January 2016. She said that although AEC has been already applied in all fields, for parts on marine and fishery, there is no room for foreign parties to catch fish. However, the Minister of Marine and Fishery keeps allowing foreign parties to invest in the field of fishery, but only in management. As the management in question is such as setting up an ice factory, fish processing, as well as a number of management related to the maritime affairs and fisheries. In addition, Minister Susi also said that her side actually has made easier way for foreigner parties to invest 100% in the sector. She said that so far the government has said that fisheries included the negative list of investment, so in the near future the source of money used by investors will be traced carefully. If the investment is in doubt, it will be checked for the source of fund from which it comes from. She also said that this is all done in order to maintain marine resources for the future. Thus, Minister Susi appealed to the fishermen to keep the sea to catch fish without using bombs, potassium, and trawling. Minister Susi Pujastuti added that until now, the marine and fishery sector is positive impact on the gross domestic product for the fishery sector itself. She also pointed out that for maritime affairs and fishery sector in the second quarter of 2016, it reached 8.96% at the fishery ministry, while other ministries only reached 5.4%. Therefore, fishermen are expected to jointly cooperate with relevant parties to maintain Indonesian waters from illegal fishing. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana. Hear news in brief, read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo has proposed the name of Commissioner General Tito Karnavian, currently chairman of the National Counterterrorism Agency, as a candidate for the post of police chief.
Indonesia and Norway continue to strengthen the partnership between them in a bid to reduce emissions from deforestation and forest degradation. Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung has said the government is set to establish a maritime policy as a reference for Indonesian maritime development. An Australian company engaged in marine construction is ready to promote licensing reforms in Indonesia. This was stated by Head of the Investment Coordinating Board BKPN Pranky Sibarani in a press release received by Antara in Jakarta. The children of former members of a Gavatar as a forbidden religious belief in Indonesia deserve being protected and having their social status. They must be protected to get their equal rights such as better life and so must other children. The Indonesian Students Association, PPI Najid, will hold the International Symposium of Indonesian Student Association to take place in Cairo, Egypt on July 25th to 28th, 2016. The symposium is themed Reinforced the Identity of Indonesian Nation. The committee of chairman of the symposium, Indap Azizi Tuerari, said on Wednesday that the theme is motivated with the condition in Indonesia, which vulnerably affects conflict of ethnic, religion, and group. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Radio Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
It's live to www.voi.co.id.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 95.25 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a great pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to one of the Achenese traditional Ramadan menus, namely Bulukat Kuah Tuhei. Stay tuned. The month of Ramadan has come. For those who love culinary tourism, this is the time for you to hunt the unique Ramadan typical culinary which not necessarily be met in ordinary days. When hunting the typical Ramadan culinary in various regions in Indonesia, do not be surprised if you see the same culinary. For example, kolak or kompot. The Ramadan menu, which is generally made from bananas and jam, are cooked in coconut milk and palm sugar, has become a favorite Ramadan menu of Indonesian people. Although kolak can be easily found in almost every region in Indonesia, they have actually different types and different tastes. Listener, if you have traveling the Ramadan typical cuisine in Aceh, you will find various kolaks in the province. The local community called it Bulukat Kuah Tuhei, a typical banana compote or kolak pisang from Aceh. Bulukat is the name of cooked glutinous rice. Bulukat Kuah Tuhei consists of bulukat, pieces of banana and jackfruit, white sugar and pandan leaves mixed with a sauce of coconut milk. It is used as a special kind of banana, namely klat barat. Mm-hmm. prisoner to make this cuisine is quite easy because it is almost the same as making kolak in general, but the glutinous rice is cooked separately from the sauce. To make the sauce, coconut milk cooked with chunks of banana, jackfruit pieces, pandan leaves and sugar. When it is served, the bulukat doused with sauce and fragrant aroma immediately smell because bulukat guatuhe uses pandan leaves. It is savory, sweet and delicious. Bulukat kuah tuhe is the favorite menu of Chinese people. This culinary turned out not only in the month of Ramadan, but it also served at the birthday of Prophet Muhammad. If you do not like bulukat, you just simply enjoy kuah tuhe or tuhe sauce. In addition to bulukat, you also can enjoy the kuah tuhe with appam. Appam is a traditional food of rice flour and coconut milk, which is shaped like a bowl. Bulukat kuah tuhe is easily found during Ramadan in Aceh. The price is relatively cheap, around 15,000 rupiah per portion. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonderful today with the topic Bulukat Kuah Tuhe. We will see you again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we will inform you about the spirit of Majapahit ships arrived in Japan. Listener, on Sunday, June 12th, the spirit of Majapahit ship arrived in Naha, Okinawa, Japan. The ship that is a replica of Majapahit Kingdom in the 13th century has departed from Ancol Marina Pier 21 on May 11, 2016, exploring South China Sea to Japan. Andi Muhammad Amin, as the captain of the ship and his 8 crews, were welcomed by Deputy 4th of Coordinating Division of Human Resources, Science and Technology and Maritime Culture of Coordinating Ministry of Maritime Affairs, Safri Burhanuddin, number of Indonesian embassy staff in Tokyo, and the chairman of Majapahit Lovers Foundation. Okinawa is the first destination place in Japan before the last destination in Tokyo, where the ship will be stored in a museum. Okinawa is the place in Japan where archaeologists found keris as the trace of Majapahit sailor. The ties between Majapahit Kingdom and Japan in the past also seen from another discovery of the 13th century Imori ceramics from Japan Kingdom in Trowulan, East Java. The majesty of Majapahit Kingdom has been attracted archaeologists and Japan academicians. The two countries believe their relationship has engaged a very long time since the glory of Majapahit Kingdom.
The Spirit of Majapahit Expedition, which was initiated by Coordinating Ministry of Maritime Affairs, is actually aimed at echoing the national maritime culture. Before arriving in Naha, the Spirit of Majapahit ship was hit by 5-meter high wave in journey from Kwasing, Taiwan. The rotate route was chosen because the Philippines quarter is not perfectly safe. Besides, the ships also damaged in some parts since it reached Pontianak, West Kalimantan, so the arrival of the ship in Naha, Okinawa, Japan was an outstanding achievement. Remembering the ship only have 20 meter long and 4.5 meter wide. Well, listener, that was our regular segment of Miscellany for today about the arrival of Spirit of Majapahit ship in Japan. I'm Nuka Kusmawati. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you again on the next Miscellany.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, we will present an Indonesian pop singer, Imaniar. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Hasratku by Imaniar. Happy listening. Segala yang ada padamu, aku rindu.
Bagaimana?
Listener Imaniar, whose full name Imaniar Nur Said, was born in Jakarta on October 15, 1965. She is an Indonesian pop singer in 80s to 90s era. The daughter of Indonesian well-known musician Said Kalana is consistent in R&B music genre. Imaniar's father is an Arabic, Italian, and Madura Bladi, while his mother, Hasnur, is Minangkabau Bladi. Before she known as a soloist, Imaniar joined with her brothers in the family band, namely the Big Kids, and made duet with her sister, Lydia Nur Said. Imaniar's younger brother, Iwang Nur Said, also dabbled in the music world, took the flow of mainstream jazz, and another younger brother, Inang Nur Said, was famous as a drummer who joined with the Emerald Band that turned to jazz and God Bless Band to rock music. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Kacau by Imaniar. Happy listening! Kacau.
Ta 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 ta
Listener, an exclusive and easy listening pop music, the sweet packaging for Niar and her sister. Lydia's vocal that turns to jazzy uniquely combined with the feel of a funky R&B's style of Imaniar. Unfortunately, only two albums they produced. Niar also has made a solo career by releasing several albums, including Hasratku and Kacau, which sold nearly a million cassettes. Well, listener, to conclude our program for today, let's listen to the last song by Imaniar. Happy listening, and sampai jumpa!
Membawa diri. Jika wangimu saja bisa memindahkan duniaku, maka cintamu pasti bisa mengubah jalan hidupku. Cukup sekali saja aku pernah merasa betapa menyiksa kehilanganmu. Kau tak terganti, kau yang selalu ku nanti. Takkan ku lepas lagi.
Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS Building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
Kita berjumpa, getaran perasaan yang ku rasa di dalam dada, dan ku terpana, terpesona.
Seketika saja langit ini penuh dengan bintang. Seketika saja hati ini penuh bunga-bunga. Dan ku terpana, ku bahagia. Cinta, 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 ku jatuh cinta. Cinta, 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 ku bahagia. Oh.
Seketika saja langit ini penuh dengan bintang. Seketika saja hati ini penuh bunga-bunga. Oh, oh. Ku terpana, ku bahagia.
Cinta, 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 ku jatuh cinta. Cinta, 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 ku bahagia. Cinta, 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 ku jatuh cinta. Cinta, 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 ku bahagia.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.